Okay, so the goal is always, you know, Lasuke Shmaitza Liba de Hilchasa. So today is where the rubber hits the road. You know, there's a lot of fascinating lumdus that we were able to see of Kol Ne'amanim, Eitzel Bi'ur Chametz. So let's just do some, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of Chazara, where we are in the Sugya, the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, how this all integrates. And then, of course, we'll begin with the Psak Halacha. So we've been holding off a little bit on the Rambam. And we already have a good sense that this is not such a simple, you know, cut and dry psak halacha because of the fundamental omission. What am I referring to? In the sugya, Ilan, go ahead. The omission of, you know, if you're going to talk about this as a halachic sugya, the fact that the Rif doesn't discuss it is obviously something of a red flag. We just don't know exactly what to make of that. You know, when it came to the sugya of Yichid Lo Bayis, we thought, okay, basically the Rif thinks that the issues have been dealt with on Hayamid Beis, right, and it's a bailus question. So sometimes when the Rif doesn't paskin, we can try to reconstruct. Admittedly, in this case, it was a little bit more difficult. Okay, so when we started the sugya, we pointed out that there are potentially two fundamental principles that could be perceived of as in conflict with each other. Okay, Shimi, what are those two fundamental principles? On the one hand, we have this idea, the Gemara of Kol Ne'amanim, Eitzel Bi'ur Chametz, Eitzel Bedikas Chametz, that we're extending this very gracious and generous Namanos, Afilu Noshim, Afilu Avodim, Afilu Ketanim, maybe, right? Or maybe especially Ketanim, so that there's this great credibility when it comes to people testifying to Bedikas Chametz having been done and or performing Bedikas Chametz. And that is, as the Bali Atosos note, right, counterposed in the Gemara with which other basic principle? Okay, well, that's, you know, our Gemara makes that assumption, right? Afilu nashim, delav bnei asudei ninu, but in terms of that first Tosas that we saw, where Tosas says, well, wait a second, if you really believe in X, then what do you need the Amira Dahani, Noam? Okay, so Kol Habatim Becheskas Bedukin does appear in the Gemara, but the Gemara says, wait a second, right? If that really is true, that's what it should have said. So rather, I think what you mean to say, Noam, is? What do you mean to say, Avi? Cheskaso Badik, which itself is rooted, the bias doesn't check itself, right? The virus doesn't spread itself, the bias doesn't check itself. So how exactly is the bias checked? Al pi halacha? Hakol chaverin hein etzel bedikas chametz. So those were the two fundamental poles of the sugya. And we have to have a very clear understanding of that. Now, Avi, just to follow up on this point, hakol chaverin hein etzel bedikas chametz seems like a remarkable principle because as all the Rishonim point out, we're talking about somebody who is in Am Haaretz, Bechol HaTorah Kula, and yet somehow when it comes to Bedikas Chametz, you know, that's really Ein Lecha Adam She'ein Lo Sha'a, and his Sha'a is Orli Arba Asar. Okay, we could say that this positively. So how do we make sense of that? Ilan Goldstein, what do we say about that idea of HaKol Chaverin Hein Eitzel Bedikas Chametz that gives us the confidence that Orli Arba Asar, both Kines HaChametz Lor Haner, he was going around breaking up the chavrusas on Yud Gimel in the afternoon. Oh, beautiful. The Rabbeinu David, it's Agav Chavivuse, he compares it to the Megillah and Shofar, and it's Dafka, the unique nature, the Zman nature of the institution that gives us confidence, and therefore we would assume that the bias is Bechezkas Baduk. But the truth is that the Gemara wasn't entirely clear. So today we're going to try to figure out what is the conclusion, if any, because we noted that after a lot of back and forth in the Gemara made an okimta. The Gemara said, and we'll re-explore this today, muchzak lan dilo badak. Okay, so let's try it from the other direction, the Gemara says. Let's stop trying to prove whether or not there's a cheskas baduk, which is in a way a way of getting at the question about kol ne'amanim eitzel b'dikas chametz b'muchzak lan delo badak. Who remembers the examples that Rashi gave? Leave. What does Rashi say? What do you mean muchzak lan delo badak? Eitan? He was toreach. He was yotzei laderach. Something like that, right? Okay, and we have good reason to assume muchzak lan dilo badak. Maybe it's not completely clear to us. Okay, talk about that. But muchzak lan dilo badak, and then they have the Amira Dahani. They come along and tell us, right, anan badkine. And that really opened up the entire part of the discussion that we've now had, is what is the samchut, what is the namanas of these psulei edos, the nashim, the avadim, and the ketanim, under such circumstances. The Gemara makes it seem like their namanas is pursuant to bdikas chametz being only a din derabanan, kivan demidaraisa bebetol bialma sagile, hamnu rabanan, bidirabanan. Okay, so let's just do some quick review on that point, because again, it all has to sort of, we're at the point in the sugya where it's got to cohere together for us. Okay? So, Hamnu Rabbanan Bidurabbanan, which Rishonim are willing, Boaz, to say, okay, Hamnu Rabbanan Bidurabbanan, this is the extent of the Nemanus that will grant Nashim, Avadim, Ktanim, Hamnu Rabbanan Bidurabbanan. Which Rishonim say, okay, that's the Gemara, that's their Nemanus, not the Raisa, but only the Rabbanan. Okay, David?
Rosh and Baal
Amor. Okay, so that's the Rosh and the Baal Amor. Very good. The Rosh himself says, maybe Nashim is the biggest question mark. The Korban Nisanal got a little bit upset about that. What do you mean? Ketanim more so than Nashim? But the Rosh is willing to take the Gemara at face value, and they're telling us that the bias is Baduk, and we can only rely on them, because the Gemara said, Mukhzak lan dilo Baduk, and they're telling us that the bias is in fact Baduk. Again, let's be very clear. We don't have any direct information in the Gemara whether or not there's such a thing as a Cheskas Baduk, because all the Gemara said is let's flip around the case. We cannot make any dispositive inference in the opposite direction. Okay? That's why we'll see. The Rishonim and the Poskim, you know, have to try to figure out to what extent is there really a Cheskas Baduk here. Okay? So the Rosh says, indeed, these classes of individuals, Nashim Avadim Tanim, they can tell us, B'mili D'Rabbanan, that B'dikas Chametz has been performed in said house. And then we have the question based on the Yerushalmi regarding Nashim. That's where the Rosh leaves it. What about the Baal Amor, David? You mentioned the Baal Amor. The Baal Amor accepts the Gemara, but his Girsa, which again follows what we know, Ilan Goldstein? Anon Badkine. Excellent. Yeah, that's what you're going to say also? Excellent. Okay, very good. So that's a world of a difference, and we'll return to the Ravid in just a little bit. So leading the charge amongst all of the Rishonim who say, what do you mean, Hamnu Rabbanan Bidrabbanan, that we're not going to extend their Nemanus to the Raisa? So Israel leading the charge, of course, the Baal HaTosfos. So the Baal HaTosfos will say, isn't it a ma'isim shebechol yom? Don't we always rely on what women have to tell us, whether it's trumosu ma'isros, whether it's nikar haged ve'achelev, whether it's shchita? We're always relying on women, on mili daraisa. And the Baal HaTosfos, without getting into all of the nuances now, but the Baal HaTosfos say, yeah, but that's because it's Noam? Exactly. It's reflective of their technical capacity. But areas where we have doubts as to what their technical capacity might be, such as B'dikas Chametz, Dikduk Gadol, Tircha Yisera, and especially once we integrate the Yerushalmi of Atzlanio, so Ben Sion, that was your Diuk, it's B'yadam, but it's not entirely B'yadam because of these mitigations, these mitigating factors. So in such a circumstance, the Baal HaTosfos will say their Nemanus will only extend to a Derabanan school one in the Rishonim. All the way at the other end of the spectrum, who defends the idea to the ends of the earth that Nashim, and here's the hint, Avadim together, B'chadim Achta, they have to come together, Nashim ve'Avadim, not because of their technical capacity, but because of a completely different reason, is Yehuda? Okay, so Tosos Rid has possibly his own shita. We're going to get to the Tosos Rid, but Ben Sion? Rabbeinu David, all the way on the other end of the spectrum. It's the opposite of technical capacity. In fact, it's a legal category. Because the Torah has fundamentally equated Nashim with Anashim, the chol usase shabbatorah in all of those areas, and by the way, then fundamentally equated avadim to nashim as well. So nashim and avadim have to have credibility. Ha'aminam ha'torah. If the Torah said they're responsible, then our assumption is that they must be credible in all of these areas. Ah, Rabbeinu David, what in the world are you going to do with our Gemara? Our Gemara talks about Hakol ne'amanim etzel b'dikas chametz, bir chametz, right? Kiva de midaraisa b'tal b'alma sagilahu, hamnu rabbanan b'drabbanan. So how does the Gemara M'sachem Daladim and Beis even exist, Eitan? It's a very difficult reading of the Gemara, but the Gemara exists for purposes of the Ketanim. And again, we'll see, right? This move, the move that, you know, the Gemara is really just grouping these categories together, Nashim Avadim Ketanim, like you have Chereshot Bekatan, Nashim Avadim Ketanim. It's almost, you know, just, you know, Agav Rihata, that's the way the Gemara formulates itself. Which other Rishon? Of course, he draws a line in a different place, but he ends up saying something very similar, Rami. The Ritva, beautiful, that's the sheet of the Ritva, right? He's going to draw the line, not Nashim and Avadim versus Ketanim, but he'll say, exactly. Nashim is a category in their own right because he's so moved by the idea of their Ne'amanus on a Daraisa level, so he just bifurcate between Nashim on the one hand and Avadim Ketanim. Those are the poles in terms of the Rishonim. Now, in between those two poles, so we have either one major school or possibly two different schools. So let's start with the larger school, which is the school represented by the Mordechai, by the Agos HaShri, and probably earliest by the Ravid, which is a school that basically says, picking up, David, off of your point about the Baal HaMaor, right, if they say, Anan Bad Kinai, we are the ones who checked it, the Baal HaMaor said, if that's really what happens, the Ravid jumps in and says, well, that would have worked even on a Del Raisa level, because as long as they're telling us about themselves, the Psul Eidos is not germane. The Psul Eidos is not relevant. When it comes to Eidos, that's going to be a real problem. They're telling us about something that happened outside of themselves, and that's where we'll need Hamnu Rabbanan Bidirabbanan. But in terms of Del Raisas, the Ravid says, they're fundamentally credible. And they're fundamentally credible because of an overarching principle in halacha that we call the Cheskas Kashrus. Now, the Cheskas Kashrus, so we trust the person's going to do the right thing. But as Ravid himself notes, based on the Gemara in Ksuvis, the Cheskas Kashrus is only as good as what we have a right to assume. It doesn't withstand all evidence to the contrary. Before opening day, you can say the Jets are the best team in the NFL. But I think at one point they were 0-11. So if a person says they're the best team in the NFL, but they're 0-11, so their axiom, their statement does not withstand reality. So what's, of course, you know, l'havdil elef alfei havdalos, okay, not just because we're talking about football, because the Jets. So what's the Ravid's point here, Rami?
We assume that they don't know.
Oh, so you're up to the Mordechai already. Okay, that's a very important factor as well. But the Ravid says, Noam?
Like
based on the Gemara, well, that's again the Mordechai, but based on the Gemara, if we know, Yaakov, exactly, if we know that, let's say, she is really ma'achil tevel to her husband, so then, you know, motzia b'lo ksuba. The chazaka works until it doesn't work, until there's evidence to the contrary. Chazaka is an assumption. It's a very powerful halachic tool with d'oraisa ramifications. But it's a kind of a tool that's subject to reality. Halacha is linked to reality. That is a very important point. I don't know if it's ever been a more important point. So the Mordechai says, yeah, it's not just linked to observable reality, but it's also linked to a kind of halachic reality as well. Okay, what do I mean by that in the Mordechai? Noam, I think you just started to say this. Go ahead. repeat for us.
I was trying to elaborate, but I said that she has to know like, about the Isser.
Exactly. So if we're convinced that they're convinced that there is actually Isser here, so then we can take them seriously on a Daraisa level. If we're not convinced that they're convinced that there's chametz here, like the Gosa Shri quotes the name of the smag, the Dag Tameh, especially when you couple that with the idea of Nasha Matzlanios, rehabilitating the Yerushalmi, the Cheskas Kashrus is no longer going to be viable. Okay. Let's just get in one more school of thought, because this is, I think, what Yehuda was alluding to. And then we'll be ready to, I think Ilan has a question, and then we'll be ready to move forward a little bit. Okay. So last school, and we could argue that this is really kind of a part of the broader Ravid Mordechai Hagos Hashri perspective, is of course the Tosfos Rid. Now again, if you want to make that argument, as we pointed out yesterday, that the Tosfos Rid is really part of this school, what's the best way to make that argument, I think? Rami? Exactly. That they're credible until it enters the realm of Eidos. That they're totally incapable of giving us Eidos on a Daraisa level. They are Psule Eidos. That is who they are. So if they would tell us that Ruvain's Peros were Tevel, even if they would tell us that he made them, even if they would tell us that he made them a shliach for purposes of being mafresh, trumas, and maestros, we couldn't accept that. Okay. In which case, that's sort of exactly the distinction that the Ravid was drawing. Me'idach, the language of the Tosfos Rid, never once appealed to a cheskas kashrus. The language of the Tosfos Rid spoke about a chiyuva deramya alayhu, demutal alay, that there are certain areas of halacha where a person is perceived of as the one who is fundamentally obligated. I said it was no surprise in the Tosfos Rid that instead of, let's say, starting with the Gemara in Ksuvis, or instead of starting with the Maisim Shebechol Yom, it was a subtle point on my part, instead of starting with Nikor Hagid and Shechita and Trumas and Maishos and Hafrashas Chala, he started with the area where nobody could debate that she would be the only one with direct knowledge, namely B'Safra La, her Nemanos, and all Milin of Taras HaMishpach. And then he works from there to Hilchos, Machalos, Asuros, in the Bias. Now, what is the outer boundary of the Tosfos Rid? To talk about a mitzvah that's Mutal Alei, right? The Rami Alayhu, what's the outer boundary? Again, this is a big chiddush, because you could say, well, you know, not exactly the same. Ben Sion?
Meiser?
Well, I mean, if it's her Meiser in her house, right, so that sort of goes along with everything else. But what was what we called it yesterday? The outer boundary, Eitan? Shlichus, exactly right. That once we know, and they're not telling us, but once we know that they're functioning as shluchim, so they become the balabayas over that particular mitzvah. So, to the extent that this is really a shita of its own, I compared it to the position that Rashi takes in Eidecha Neman B'Yisurin, that the halachic system simply has to allow for credibility, even on matters of Doraisa, because there's no alternative. What are you going to do? Pay for a shomer in everybody's house? So it's obvious that the Torah invests credibility in mitzvos that are inalienable from these persons. And again, I think where the chiddush comes in is, in fact, the case of shlichus, in which case the Tosfos Rid really wouldn't be predicated on a cheskas kashrus. To be sure, the cheskas kashrus is a sine qua non. You need the cheskas kashrus. It's not really about the cheskas kashrus in the end. It's about the nature of the mitzvah, as opposed to the standing of the gavra, or in this case, the nashim, the avadim, or the Kitanim. Okay, so that's basically what we said in terms of those special categories. Okay, Ilan, by all means.
Yeah, two questions. Would the Ravid agree with the Tosfos Rid that we need the Gedir in order for them to lose their Cheskas Kashrus?
I didn't see any evidence for that. I didn't see any evidence for that. Because when you read the Gemara in Ksuvis, right, the Gemara says what? Iyada nifrosh, right? If we know, so the Tosfos Rid is making it clear that Mechezkas Kashrus, as we pointed out yesterday, survives just allegation or speculation. Ilan wants to know, what is the Ravid's position on that? Is it enough to have, let's say, a Reyesa that would take away the Cheskas Kashrus? To go back and read the words of the Ravid very carefully here, and also obviously take a broader look at the Ravid's perspective, but off the top of my head, I don't remember seeing any direct evidence that he says Yediya Bebiror is required to overturn, you know, our fundamental level of trust. And again, you know, that's, you know, a very good way of getting at this point, that if the Torah, with respect to certain mitzvot, said that of course she's going to have to be credible, right, so it's going to be harder to overturn that, as opposed to just a default assumption, but which will be subject to various things that we'll, you know, observe. And I think, you know, just, I'm just sort of, you know, reflecting in light of your question. So something like, you know, the Mordechai's issue, that probably doesn't reach the standard of Yediyah Beberah, right? Because it's just our assumption that they don't take it that seriously. Is that Yediyah Beberah? So I think that's why I say I'm a little hesitant to apply the RID standard to the Ravid. Yeah, and then go ahead, if you get a second point.
Yeah, also, the fact that he says that they were truly relieved, they were shliach, could it be that this has a parallel in Halacha? I know it's a machlokas, it works for the Rabban anyway, or also the Reisa, but Chazak HaShliach also should do so.
I think it's true, but it's insufficient. Meaning, even if that's true, that is part of the analysis here, I don't know that that necessarily gets you to the RID's conclusion, that makes this an area where we would call it a mitzvah deramya alayhu, or that it's muta alay. Even if we're generally optimistic, right, about the role of the shaliach, It seems to me that the Ne'amanus is derived because of the nature of the halachic area, Nida being the primary example. So even if it's true, I still think that the Rid is a big chiddush to say that shlichus men can make you the baal of that mitzvah the same way that a woman would be in terms of machalos asuros in her home, or, you know, her Nida count, Zava count, etc. Okay, very good. So that's effectively what we had seen. Now, what we know is that the Bavli says afilu nashim. The Yerushalmi, it's very hard to determine the role of nashim, right? Could be a machlokas in the Yerushalmi, the Korban Ha'eda, right? Perspective, right? It could be that atzlanios, like Rabbeinu Manoach says, really means that they're exceedingly, you know, careful and cautious. And then again, if it really is just a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, so then we'll go with the Bavli. So that's going to be a factor in terms of Psak Halacha as well. Okay, so with that, let's now take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam has a very fascinating formulation, subject to, again, huge discussion here. Everybody has the Rambam? Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Should have one. Okay. All right. Yaakov, you want to do the honors? Okay, so let's just stop here first. That's our Baasar. Does the Rambam believe in a Cheskas Baduk? Not a trick question. So, Maskir by Istanbul, Basar, Hareza, Becheskas Baduk. The implication of that is Eino Tzarech Levdok. Okay. Okay. So the Rambam now is telling us two very important things, one by stating it and one by not stating it. Okay, so this is his perush on the Gemara. When the Gemara turns and said, let's say it's a case of muchzak lan de lo badak, and these people come and tell us that, let's say they checked the house. Imhochzak zeh maskir shelo badak, ve'amru isha o katan, anon bidak nuhu. Let's be very careful here. That according to the Rambam, what do they say?
We didn't.
Yeah. Hareilu ne'emanim, shehakol ne'emanim al bi'ur chametz. Everybody is credible with respect to bi'ur chametz. So the Rambam has Isha, the Rambam has Katan. He does not have Eved, which is really interesting. I don't think we'll focus on that so much. So the Rambam says, in that case, anan bidaknu areilu ne'emanim, shehakol ne'emanim al bi'ur chametz. Because there's massive, expansive credibility as far as bi'ur chametz is concerned. So apparently the Rambam understood, this may be very different than the Rif, but apparently the Rambam understood that the Gemara did believe that there's a cheskas badok. And when the Gemara gave the okimta of muchzak lan de lo badok and will rely on them, so that was just a case that the Gemara wanted to explore. The Gemara hadn't despaired of establishing the cheskas badok. Okay. What's the reason that he gives? Shekhol ne'amonim al bi'ur chametz. What does the Rambam not say? He says, I have to explain this, and why are we going to believe them if it's muchzak lan de lo badak, and we're not going to require him to do bedikas chametz. So Noam, what does the Rambam not say, especially noteworthy, considering the fact that he's following the Gemara so carefully, this side of Eved? You would have expected the Rambam to say something to the effect of, okay, so I'll call ne'emanim al bi'ur chametz. Right, okay. Yeah, well, Eitan? I would have expected something like that. Shakol ne'emanim al bi'ur chametz. And especially, you know, when we integrate what Shitas HaRambam means with respect to Bittul, right? What's that? Could be. It could be that he's so meich on that. Could be. Could be how you read, Avi, that term, Bi'ur Chametz, and whether or not it's integrated with the Bittul. Rambam says, "Hakol ne'emanim al bi'ur chametz." Okay. Then the Rambam comes back and he says, almost like it was a separate statement. Go ahead, Yaakov. Now, here's the reemergence of the avadim. Yeah. Can't just be any katan, but it has to be a katan sheish bo das livdok. Otherwise, how could he possibly be kasher lebedika? So there's a big question for the Rambam. What is the relationship between these two statements? Shakol ne'emanim al bi'ur chametz v'hakol k'sherin lebdika. And, especially in light of the Rambam, when he says, what exactly are the Isha and Katan telling us? Are they telling us that the bias is Baduk, or are they telling us that they did it? So there's at least a case to be made for the Rambam. And Eved's an important discrepancy. But Ilan, what's the case to be made for the Rambam? Okay, so if there's two dinim and it's separate, so then maybe we can explain the Eved discrepancy. But if you're just sort of following along, the Rambam says they can tell us that they did it. And then he follows up that statement with the idea that they're all kosher to do it. What might we say?
That they cannot tell us that they did it because they're kosher.
Yeah, so that there's a link here. Now, I happen to agree with you. I think the Rambam actually is saying two different things. But I wanted to be fair about that point. I think you run into the discrepancy of Eved, which is a problem, because if it's just explanatory, and you think Hakol Kshirim Libdika, Afilu Nashim, Afilu Avadim, Afilu Ktanim, again, assuming that it's a Katan Sheish Bodas Livdok, so then that should translate into Nemanos for the Eved as well. And that is a problem. But there are those who are going to say that for the Rambam, what's going on here is anu bedaknu. That's a credible statement because, in fact, they are kosher for that role. Alternatively, as Ilan was beginning to suggest, the Rambam has two different principles. There's hakol kshirim in terms of actually performing bedikas chametz, and that applies to not just nashim and ketanim, but to Avadim. And then there's Ne'amanos to tell us. Well, just on that part of it, Anan Bedaknuhu.
Yeah.
Okay, but then there's the question of Ne'amanos. And the Ne'amanos might not be because they're kosher to do it, but this is the principle of Hakol Ne'amanim, that there is special credibility in this area. Avi thinks maybe because it's already understood that it's a Din D'Rabbanan, but this would need to be explored as well. Okay. So to summarize, the Rambam indicates that there's a Cheskas Baduk, Ve'enu Tzarech Livdok. In a case where you have a Chazaka that Bdikas Chametz does not take place, the principle of Hakol Ne'amanim al Biur Chametz will justify even an Isha or a Katan telling us that they themselves checked for Chametz. And then the Rambam tacks onto it at the end, and oh, by the way, Bdikas Chametz can be performed by Nashim, by Avadim, and by Ketanim as long as they have Das Livdok. Okay. On this last point, I think we can make the conclusion that the Rambam was docha which source? When the Rambam says Hakol Kshirim Libdika Afilu Nashim Ve'Avadim Uktanim, Eitan? Outstanding, Eitan. Beautiful all day today. Okay. One more Hayara in the Rambam, and then we'll take a look at two comments, one by the Magid Mishnah. We'll start with the Magid Mishnah, and then we'll take a look at the Sefer HaMenucha. Hamaskir bayistam b'rabasa hareza b'cheskas baduk ve'enu tzarech livdok. Thinking back to the original Tosos that we saw, Torah Safek or Torah Svadai, where do you think the Rambam comes down on that issue? And why? Yaakov, what do you think? B'Torah Vaday or B'Torah Safik, and why? Okay, I think you're right. Well, what would you expect the Rambam to say? Based on the Gemara. The Gemara seems to be following the Gemara, the Bavli, very carefully. Avi?
I'm not sure if I have something to ask him.
Yeah. That doesn't seem part of the Rambam's calculus. The only thing that can undermine this chazaka b'toras vada is im huchzak zamasker shelo badak. Okay. Very good. So this is the presentation of the Rambam as such. Al pi halacha, there is a chazkas badak, which means hakol chaver in etzel b'dikas chametz. You can have anomalies im huchzak zehamasker. This one individual shelo badak. That can be corrected through the principle of Hakol Ne'amanim al Bir Chametz, and the Rambam takes this expansive definition of Hakol Kshir and Lebdika, Avadim reappear, and Ketanim, as long as they're Ketanim, De'is Behudas. The Magen Mishnah. Yaakov, go ahead. So Perakama. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok hamaskir bayis lechaveiru v'yadalid. Hani, meaning Nashim, Abadim, and Ketanim, those three classes. So what part of the Rambam does the Magid Mishnah kind of completely skip over? That last part. It says, Hani, Nashim, Avadim, Ketanim, Badikne, that we'll believe them. No? Okay, I mean, duly noted. But again, the Magid Mishnah has already sort of accounted that for the Rambam. The Magid Mishnah himself is sort of excising that part of the Gemara. But I'm just saying, for the Rambam, it's ironic. He's trying to present the Gemara how the Rambam understood it. I think he does a pretty good job. But there's just there's a lacuna there by the Magid Mishnah's own telling. Ben-Zion? Yeah, well, exactly. He's, right, formatted the Gemara perfectly in terms of how he thinks the Rambam understands it, but he doesn't have any explanation for Avadim. Okay. Perish Nashim, Badim Tanim, Badikne, Maudisem Alod Nemnunu, Kamash Malan. Okay, so maybe the Magid Mishnah understood that the Rambam came to clarify that in the next line, Vakol Kshirim Lebdika, Afilu Nashim, Be'abadim, Muktanim, Vushia Kat and Shesh Bodas of Dok. I suspect that is what the Magid Mishnah thought. But it's a little bit strange that the Rambam, who's so meduyak, would leave such a thing out. So let's take an alternative perspective, which is the perspective, of the Sefer HaMenucha of Rabbeinu Manoach. We already saw how he dealt a little bit with the Yerushalmi. Okay, so let's take a look at Rabbeinu Manoach. Yaakov, I happen to agree with you. It sounds like the Rambam is saying that the chazaka is really b'toras vaday. Efshar levarer, ein tzarech levarer, ein o tzarech livdok. It's only a case of muchzak lan delo badak. We have the anomaly of Ebed. But that seems to be the pshat in the sugya. That seems to be the pshat halacha liba the Rambam. What about Rabbeinu Manoach? Okay, go ahead, Yaakov. Bim huchzak zamasker shelo badak.
Okay.
Okay, so here, right, you could already see what Rabbeinu Manoach is trying to do. He's rehabilitating this part of the Gemara. Okay, it's interesting. It's just really fascinating. When the Makkid Mishnah wanted to take you on the Rambam's tour of the Gemara, so he respected the boundaries of the Rambam. He did not integrate this perspective. But Rabbeinu Manoach says, no, that clearly has to be animating all of this. Okay? Okay? And again, it's not obvious. We just spent a lot of time, days, talking about how it's perfectly conceivable for many Rishonim that if they're talking about something that they did themselves, it wouldn't need to be Dirabanan. So unless Avi is correct, count me amongst the skeptics, okay? Hamnu Rabbanan bidirabbanan. I thought it would be a perfect opportunity for the Rambam to say something, and instead he just talked about Hakol Ne'emanim al bir chametz. And again, part of that is at least a Doraisa construct. Okay. So Rabbeinu Manoach wants to rehabilitate Hamnu Rabbanan bidirabbanan. V'hu adin. Okay, so this I think is quite radical. Im heidu, that is the word to use in this case, right? Isha o katan o eved sherau adam echad shebada kabayis avalhim lo badku shenemanim. So not only is Rabbeinu Manoach integrating the Hamnu Rabbanan bidrabbanan into his understanding of the Rambam, but I think he's making an even more audacious assertion. He's asserting that when the Rambam said, Akol ne'emanim al bior chametz, that wasn't merely the case that the Rambam discussed, namely, anan badkine, or bidaknu. That's a very speculative position that Rabbeinu Manoach is taking. You guys all notice this in Chavrusa. I mean, it's just the Rambam doesn't say either of these two things. He doesn't make it about the Dirabbanan, one, and he never says that they have the capacity to give edus about some third party. Im huchzak, zamaskir, the Rambam said, shelo badak, v'amru isha o katan, anan bedaknu areilu ne'emanim, shekol ne'emanim al bir chametz. Okay, a little further. V'davka eilu, aval. The Asra, in a place, the Yaviagra, that they actually pay you for this. That a person's not going to sin unless somehow they can benefit from it. So we'll actually extend some credibility to these individuals as long as there's no money on the line. Once there's money on the line, we're not going to trust these psuleidos machmas rasha. Aval psuleidos machmas. Okay, so they're not going to be granted any nemanus at all. And again, Rabbeinu Manoach was exquisitely sensitive. You can't say he didn't pick up on the Rambam's distinction because he's dafka making this case. Whether it's anan bedaknua or whether they're talking about a third person. So Rabbeinu Manoach, I have to confess, I find it very difficult in terms of the Rambam. I don't get the impression that the Rambam is limiting this to a din derabanan. And I certainly don't get the impression that the Rambam is telling me that an isha or a katan can give me third party information. And as you've all figured out, I think that those two points are integrally related. The Rambam deliberately avoided saying what? He deliberately avoided pointing out the derabanan. Why? Because he's limiting it to a case. Rabbeinu David, go ahead. Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, saying about themselves. So good. Outstanding. David, they're calling for an encore. It would even extend to an area of Doraisa. Maybe not any area of Doraisa. But he wasn't going to make it about the Derabanan. Sir Rabbeinu Manoach, forgive me, is inserting things that aren't here. Levi.
Are you saying that for some delta of Doraisa, there must be an epsilon greater than zero for their
credit?
Yes. Yes, I am.
You didn't have to ask that theory.
Okay.
Never ask a question you don't know the answer to.
Now, so it's Dafka, the two things that Rabbeinu Manoach inserts into the Rambam that I think are actually the true explanation for Hashita. The Rambam wants to make it clear it's not a product of Hemnu Rabbanan Bidrabbanan, but that they're coming along and telling us Anan Bidaknu, and that would be completely viable in innumerable areas on a Doraisa level, and it also happens to work in this area of Bir Chametz. Avi, whether or not we say it's because Bir Chametz is Midivrei Sofrim. The question of Eved remains a serious question, but then the Rambam moves on to a different din. And that din is Hakol Ksherim Libdika, Afilu Nashim, Afilu Avadim, Afilu Ktanim. As long as the Katan has Das Livdok to perform the particular mitzvah, we would accept them for purposes of Bdikas Chametz. Okay. Now Rabbeinu Manoach says something that I think is even more shocking. I know how you guys reacted to this. But Yaakov, go ahead. Shahalochahi. Okay, so Rabbeinu Manoach just spilled the beans, if it's true. The question is it true? The Rif was, you know, hiding this information. This was, you know, some big secret the Rif didn't want to let out. Harif lo hiskir za'afobi shahalochahi. Shalo ratza lefarsim. Halacha vein morin kain? What is this? This is like Kanaim Pokinball? Wouldn't we want to know this information? Save the pure, the poor socher, you know, the obligation of Bedikas Chametz on Erev Pesach when he has a lot of things to do? I mean, what was your reaction when you saw this line? Rami?
Especially if he has such a radical view that Nashim were able to give Eidos. So if based on Rabbeinu Manoach's radical view, I mean, it may seem rational that he would want to keep that a secret.
Don't you think people deserve to know the halacha? What's that? Right, so I mean, like, right, so the riff, it's a good point. So the riff wasn't, right? I think it's just a very strange thing to ascribe to the Rif that he was just keeping this a secret. V'arif lo hisker z'avu b'shalacha hi l'fi shalaratz l'farsim diktanim v'avodim l'havu ne'amanim dikas chametz v'hoinami. Okay, so if you're willing to accept that, so the Rif says, well, also, go ahead, Yaakov. He didn't want to say,
Chal Arvas Adar Shus HaMaskir Shamaskir Lidok In Game Emela Shamas Deha Damaskir Base Be'Arvas Adar Haskas Arvadok.
Okay, so this I find, if possible, even harder to believe. It says, oh, the reason the Rif didn't tell you about Cheskas Obadok, you know, even though, of course, he's a secret believer in this, is because this was already covered by the other section in the Gemara. In other words, the sugya of Mesiras Maftechos. Because if the Chiyuv is incumbent, if the Psak, based on that sugya, is Alamaskir Livdok, Mimela Shmas, right? That he's definitely going to do it. The problem for the Rabbeinu Manoach is if this were so true, im kvar, what's the az kvar? If that's so obvious, Shemi? Yes! Why is it two different sugyas in the Gemara? The Gemara worked really hard to try to figure out. I call ne'manim, I'll be your chametz. Call abatim b'cheskas b'dukin. So I'm sorry to say it, but I actually don't think there's anything that I agree with here. Not for the Rif and not for the Rambam. I think the Rambam means exactly what he says. There's a cheskas baduk b'toras vaday. I think the Magen Mishnah is absolutely correct about that. It's absolutely correct that that's how the Rambam interpreted the Gemara. The Magen Mishnah was on to the fact that it wasn't a product of it being a din derabanan, because the Rambam limits it to a case of anan badkenu, which should work in many different areas on the Daraisa level. The Rambam wanted to limit this to derabanan. He knows very well how to say that. And if the Rambam believed, as Rabbeinu Manoach ascribed to him, that somehow they could be talking about a third party, he could have said that too. But he doesn't say either of those things. And if the Rambam frankly wanted to say that the Eved was capable of saying Anan or Ana Bedakna, I think he would have said that too. In the very next line, the Rambam says he fundamentally can. And Tzarech Iyun for now on that line in the Rambam. That's a very difficult piece of the Rambam. Even the Magen Mishnah, who I think generally has the Rambam correct, doesn't account for that. That's very difficult. Maybe somebody will find in the Girsos in the Rambam. If you can find the Girs in the Rambam where it's not just Eved and Katan, I'll be very happy. But the bottom line is that the Rambam doesn't mention anything about the Rabbanan. He's talking about Anan Bedaknu. It would appear that the Rambam thinks that this mechanism works very clearly for Daraisa. It's very, very hard to believe to the point of incredible, non-credible, that the Rif would be hiding this information because he doesn't want to be Mefarsim, or that it was so obvious based on Mesiras Maftechos that Cheskas Obadok. I don't think it's obvious at all. I don't think it's obvious in the Gemara. I don't think there's any obvious conclusion. And just to prove the point, let's take a look at the tour. Eitan, go ahead. Okay, so again, I'm going to be really careful here, okay, in terms of this. I don't necessarily think that I disagree, but the tour did. Go ahead, Ben Sion.
You put in the word
Eidos. Yeah. Okay. So. I think this was taking it too far. Now again, if all he means there at the end is Kasav Aram Mushe Katan Sheish Bodas Livdok, you know, and that's the contribution of the Rambam, that's fine. But the Rambam said that having nothing to do with Hakol Ne'emanim al Bdika Aschametz. The Rambam said that in terms of Hakol Ksherin, what kind of katan would be kosher? I don't have a problem with him extending that back. I think it makes perfect sense in terms of the Ne'emanos. So, like I said, I'm not sure I disagree with that part, right? But the Torah seems to be distinct here from the Rambam in terms of the mechanism. L'ho'ir al habayis shehu baduk. Rabbeinu Manoach might be happy with this, right? But I don't see this at all for the Rambam. Yeah. Okay. Beis Yosef. Go ahead, Eitan. Fascinating. Okay. You know, we have a principle, you know, that in Hilchos Avelos, Halach Devei Hamekel, so the Beis Yosef tells us something interesting. It says, oh, you know, B'midi D'Rabbanan will paskin like the Divrei HaMekel, and anyway, if it's a Machokas Bavli Yerushalmi, just, you know, be so mechan the Bavli. So the first part I have no comment on right now. The second part, Vod Kevan B'midi D'Rabbanan hu Naktinan K'Divrei HaMekel, you already know what I'm going to say. Yeah, I don't know that that's a factor here for the Rambam. I don't know that that's a factor for the Rambam. That's the kind of thing that you would want stated. And again, especially in light of the fact that the Gemara did focus heavily on Hemnu Rabbanan B'Di Rabbanan, I don't know that I really see that for the Rambam as a factor. I have no problem saying that it's a Machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi, and the Rambam, you know, just basically, even if you, whatever you think of the Yerushalmi, it could be Machlokes in the Yerushalmi. That might be the most obvious reason. So the Rambam went with the, you know, primary day on the Yerushalmi. That's all fine. Again, I would say that I'm somewhat suspicious. The Bach. I agree with this, I think that this presentation of the Rambam is saying that there's nothing untoward about being someich hanashim. I completely agree with you. Don't get any sense that the Rambam is shy about that. Akol ne'emanim al bir chametz. And the reason that I chose to show you this Bach, which is otherwise quotidian, is just to again demonstrate that it would be really strange if the Rif were trying to somehow hide this halacha. Right? Rabbeinu Manoach's claim. That, oh, we can't be mefarsim this. Okay. One last point in the Bach. Hachama yaskinan de muchzak lan de lo badok, perish Rashi.
Kigon shirayinu, tarot o yotim,
mi bodiom l'tarach. So in other words, we have what they would call circumstantial evidence that Bdika Aschametz did not occur. Two days in a row now. Okay, different contexts. Yediyah Berura. Ah. Okay, and I would agree with that as well. Right? I would agree with that as well. Did anybody here get the impression from reading the Rambam, let's say, that if we had Yediyah Berura, that Bdika Aschametz didn't happen, that all of a sudden the Nashim and the Ketanim wouldn't suffice? No. So the Bach is pointing out, and I think it's true, that even if we have Yediyah, Lav Davka Chazaka, Lafil Hecha Diyadanu Shelo Badak, Retzalonomer, Yidanu Bebeirer, wasn't, you know, let's say again, We've got the CIA outside his house. It's not just that we saw him get into the car and we never saw him get back, but, you know, we've inserted better than the CIA. We've got the Russians on him. They've put a microchip into him. He spent the entire morning, you know, playing chess. So we know for sure, right? Yedia Barura, we're watching him on the screen. He's a good chess player. Okay. Lo bechazaka b'yom. Chayin. Okay, so that I think is equally clear. Okay, so the Sakeim, Shitas HaRambam caused a great degree of discussion, as usual, and the Shita of the Rif did as well. There are some very important lasting questions on the sugya. The omission of the Rif remains somewhat mysterious. It really does. Rabbeinu Manoach's explanation that somehow the Cheskas Badak had otherwise been established, or that, you know, we don't want to be mefarsing this, is very hard to accept on its face. It seems like people should deserve to know what the halacha is, number one. And number two, as the Bach comments, right, it doesn't sound, just as an example, like the Rambam or the Tur thought there was even anything b'dieved about this. As far as the Shita of the Rambam itself, as I say, questions remain. In particular, the role of the Eved in terms of Ana B'dakna. Why would that be insufficient? No less an authority than the Magid Mishnah simply conflated that into the perspective of the Rambam. Again, I'm not willing to add that word. I'd rather live with the Kasha for now. And maybe some of you can check the various nuschos. In terms of the fundamental point, the Rambam's position seems to be twofold. One, cheskas baduk b'toras vaday. Hakol chaverin hein, etzel b'dikas chametz is real. It creates absolute credibility in terms of bayis baduk. If there's an anomaly, huchzak zeha maskir, and I'll agree with the Bach on this point, it's not just the chachazaka, but even yediyah berura, there's absolute, unapologetic credibility, it's not b'di'eved, for at least an ishan akatan, sarach ian on the eved point, to say, anan b'daknua, we did it ourselves. No edus, not like the tour. And not because it's a midi derabanan, but rather, shakol ne'manim al bir chametz. Bir chametz is one of the areas where there is first person ne'emanos. Nothing to do with edus. None of the categories of Rabbeinu Manoach. This week's parasha, machmas rishos, al tashas yadchem rashal yoseid chamas, or lo shomer mesa, not edus is not being discussed by the Rambam. And the very same reason the Rambam never referenced the Derabanan is exactly the reason the Rambam never talked about them speaking of a third party. The Rambam apparently agreed with the many Rishonim, and specifically against the Baal HaMor, that Anan Bedaknu is going to establish credibility in a variety of areas, including Doraisa. Not as a b'di'eved. Not as a b'di'eved at all. Those are the two fundamental points in the Rambam. Okay.